Well, good morning again, church. And I just thank the Lord so much for the vehicle that He's given to us today to worship Him in song and in prayer and to celebrate what God's doing in the body of Christ. We want to continue our worship as we listen to the Word of God as we are instructed. We are in a series called Frequency about how we're listening to the voice of God. And we learned some wonderful things in this series, how that God is actually very, very near. He's not very far away. It's actually, He's just in a different dimension. And if we were to break through or could just peek in right here, very, very close, just in the air around us, is the throne room of God and Christ in the midst of the throne. And we joined a celestial and festive gathering today in the worship of Christ Himself. And We've just been enjoying that so much. I just thank the Lord for the perspectives. We learned an awful lot. I'm not going to review all the weeks, but I'm glad that you're tracking. I loved seeing you with your books out and making notes and then hearing about stories about in your life group and how God is working through you as you are leaning into and applying what we're hearing. Last week, we learned that the Scripture, our Bible, is the primary way that God speaks to us. And this week, we are going to look at some of the other ways in which God speaks. Now, if you forgot your frequency book with you today, or you weren't here to get one, we have bills coming down the aisles, our ushers are coming down. Just put a hand up, and you can get a copy of today's particular handout to make some notes on. Just slip a hand up. We'd love to be able to get those to you. We're going to touch on some of the God speaks in many, many ways, primarily through His Scriptures, where He speaks universally to those who read it through the divine logos, and He speaks personally to believers as His Spirit enlivens that logos and gives rhema words. Today, we're going to touch on the many other ways, only a few of them. God is not limited in how He speaks, but it's important that we understand why, so that we don't miss any of the ways God communicates with us. And so we're going to finish then with perhaps the most common way that God... So I'll move from what is least common to what is most common apart from the Scripture. So here we're going to go. In Job chapter 33, verse 14, we read these words, God speaks in different ways, and we don't always recognize His voice. God speaks in many, many different ways, primarily through His Word. But there are times when God chooses to speak in other ways, and His Holy Spirit will do so, and we're going to look at those. But often we miss them because we don't understand that it's actually God. We miss these because we don't pay attention. Or we've been taught that He only speaks through the Bible. We haven't been taught to discern and to understand and to grow in how we hear Him. So let's look at the many ways, some of the many ways that God communicates other than or apart from His written word. And again, from the least common to the most common. So, one of the ways we know as we read the Scripture is through an audible voice. That God will actually break into the very thin veil of between our dimensions and He will speak. One of the examples of this we look at is in the Old Testament, and a little boy, if some of you who grew up in the church might remember this, and that is a little boy named Samuel. He was sleeping and he was serving in the temple. Eli was the priest, and he heard these words calling, Samuel, Samuel, and he gets up and he runs to Eli. This happens three times, and finally Eli understands that it wasn't actually, that it's actually God, so he tells him next time, you know, respond differently. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 3, God speaks, and he hears the word, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel the little boy responds, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel that is going to be incredible. And he tells him. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, he was persecuting the church, and he was on his way to Damascus along this road, and he was going again to persecute, jail, or have Christians killed. And in the midst of it, on the way in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, we hear, "And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" It was a literal voice from heaven. And Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And he tells him, "Rise and enter into the city, and then you'll be told what to do." Jesus, in three occasions, God breaks through the thin veil into our dimension, and he spoke to his son Jesus, once at his baptism, and then again on the Mount of Transfiguration, and then we just know that God spoke through. And in a contemporary, sort of a contemporary way, although there's been examples of this all throughout church history, Francis Schaeffer was a great theologian, a rigorous thinker and apologist, a philosopher. He's most known for starting Le Bris Fellowship, or this community in Switzerland. And he was very, very committed to sincere study of the Scripture. Many of his books I have in my library. And for those of you who are familiar with Francis Schaeffer, he was a tremendous thinker a number of decades ago. But he and his young family were really pressed for money, and they had to have a place to live. They were looking for housing during a time of transition. And Francis prays, and he asks God, "God, where can we live? Please show us." And Francis Schaeffer, again, brilliant mind, sort of a logical person, heard an audible voice in the room speak and say, "Uncle Harrison's house." It took him back by surprise. In fact, it made no sense because Uncle Harrison was clearly still living in his house. But the voice was so direct, he felt like he had to obey it. So he wrote his uncle. It wasn't texting back then. And he wrote his uncle and asked him what he planned to do with his house for the next year. He had no idea if he was in it or not. And Francis was astonished to read when his uncle replied that he was going to live with his brother for the next year and would love to offer his house to Francis and his family for a year. God speaks sometimes through an audible voice. I personally have never heard an audible voice from God. I've heard occasionally the odd time where people have actually heard an audible voice. I have not. But the Scripture shows us, and it is possible. The second way, again, moving from least common to most common, apart from the Scripture, God will speak through angels. Again, many examples in the Scripture. We don't have time this morning to go through all of them, like Abraham in Genesis 18 and 19, Joshua in Joshua 5, Balaam in Numbers 22, Gideon in Judges 6, Samson's parents in Judges 13, Isaiah, Daniel. In the Newer Testament, angels gave very specific directions to Peter. Remember, he was placed in jail and he was going to be executed in the morning. The church gathered and prayed fervently for him. And then we read in Acts chapter 12 what happened, and then an angel of the Lord stood next to him in the jail cell, and he was chained there, and he kicks him. He struck him on the side, actually. A light shone in the cell, and he woke up, and the angel said, "Get up quickly." And suddenly the chains fell off his hands. And the angel then said, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals," and he did so. Then he told him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And so he followed him out of the jail. He thought he was seeing a vision, but he was awake. Then they passed through the first and second guard, and they came to an iron gate, and the iron gate opened by itself, and he followed them out, and suddenly the angel left him, and he was standing out there. The angel gave specific directions to Philip in the Newer Testament. He was in the middle of a successful ministry, lots of people being saved and healed and all of this. And in Acts chapter 18, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go south toward the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. It's a desert road.'" Now think about it. He's having a successful ministry, and the angel of the Lord says, "Go down this desolate road." Doesn't seem to make sense. But he did. He rose and he went. And he's on this road just walking along, and suddenly there comes a chariot carrying the Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And he was in charge of all of her treasure. He was like the treasurer of the entire country. He was a religious man and was in Jerusalem and was worshiping God, and he was driving back, and as the chariot comes by, he hears him reading from the book of Isaiah. Then the Holy Spirit says to him, go up and join him. And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah. And now we got to think about this. We just read this and we don't think. Actually, what's happening is he's running beside the chariot. And he goes, do you understand what you're reading? He goes, how can I? No one tells me. And finally invites him into the chariot. And then we understand he shares with him and he tells him about the person of Christ that he's reading about. He responds to Christ, and the Ethiopian eunuch says, there's water, what's keeping me from being baptized? They stop the chariot, gets out, Philip baptizes him, and then the Holy Spirit does something really strange that's never happened to me, but he kind of like just, boom, transports Philip to a different place. Gone. Whew. We read a couple of weeks ago about Peter, remember? He had this vision of a sheet coming down from heaven because he needed his theology changed. Well, the other half of that story is that an angel speaks to Cornelius. Remember, he came to, and in the ninth hour, he saw a vision of an angel of God coming to him and saying, Cornelius, and he stared at him in terror. And he says, what's it? And he says, your prayers and alms have been ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring one who is Simon called Peter. He's lodging there at Simon the Tanner's house by the sea. And when the angel spoke to him, he departed, and he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among them who attended him, and they related everything that happened to him, and they sent them to Joppa. And then when these people came, we see that the whole story meshes together perfectly, but an angel spoke to Cornelius. Where Peter got a vision from God, an angel speaks to him. Now, I told some of you, when I was in Indonesia, my last trip to Asia, to Malaysia and Nepal and other places, I had the opportunity and the privilege of having a wonderful Indonesian meal that was done on banana leaves on the floor, and it was wonderful. But the great occasion where some of the people who had come to faith, some Muslim people who had come to faith in Jesus, and I listened to a woman who told a story. She had an incredibly difficult life in a very abusive situation, and she was in such utter need, and she walked out of her home one evening, very rare thing for her to do, and it was dark, and she walked, and she just walked the street. She was so distraught, and a man walked up to her, and he began to tell her everything about her life, all of her hardships, told her her names of her children by name, and understood everything that she was going through. And this person said to her, go to speak with your new friend, and he would tell you about Jesus, who is the truth. And then she said, and he disappeared. He was just gone. She sought out our international worker who shared with her the good news of Jesus Christ about his grace, love, and truth, and new life in the kingdom of God that is available if she would trust him, repent of her sin, and receive him. And she did so. Because an angel literally physically appeared when she was walking that night in the dark and told her and directed her to where she would hear the good news. God speaks through angels. I, to my knowledge, have never had an angel speak to me. But I know what happens. It was shown in the scripture. We've seen stories about it in church history. And I listened to a woman tell me face to face. There are other phenomena. And I just want to list them. I don't want to talk about them. But you remember the story of Moses. God spoke to him through a burning bush that didn't burn up, actually. He spoke to Balaam through a donkey. Literally. Donkey turned and spoke to him. I remember somebody said to me one time, I was struggling as a young preacher, and the guy said to me, don't worry, Jerry, if God could speak through Balaam's ass, he'll speak through you. That was great comfort to me. He actually spoke through to King Belshazzar of Babylon when he took a bunch of the things, the holy instruments from the temple, and used them in a wild party and stuff. And then God began to speak, and a hand began to write on the wall right in front of him. And it freaked him out. He called Daniel, and Daniel interpreted what it was. God spoke through a bizarre phenomenon where literally handwriting on a wall. And to Gideon through a fleece, making it dry when everything around it was wet, and then making it wet when everything around it was dry. So God may use all kinds of phenomena. I'm not going to put God in a box. He's God. He can speak however he wants to. Now, getting more common, he speaks also through dreams or visions. Now, keep in mind here, these are the things that get all the airtime. God speaks primarily through what? The Bible, that's right. But if he chooses to speak otherwise, sometimes he speaks through dreams and visions. First of all, about dreams. Dreams are simply pictures that you receive or movies or scenes that play out while you are asleep. Seems basic. Joseph learned about, through two different dreams, about his future. Remember, he heard about the sun and the moon and the 11 stars would bow down before him and all of that. In the Christmas story, the Magi, who went and followed the star to Jesus, they were warned in a dream not to return to King Herod, but rather to go another way and not to go back to Herod in Matthew chapter 2. So God will speak sometimes through dreams. Again, I haven't been, you know, God doesn't speak to me a lot in dreams, although for some people I know, some of you already have shared some with me, that God has spoken in dreams. Visions is the second part of this in number 4. And they're similar to dreams, except those who receive the visions are generally awake. So dreams are pictures or scenes that play out while you're sleeping. Others, you get dreams or pictures and or scenes that play out while you're awake. And Abraham, God appeared to him in a vision confirming his promise that he would have a son in Genesis 15. The Apostle Peter, we heard about, he had this transforming vision about God's love for the Gentiles as well in Acts chapter 9. One of the great theologians in the 4th century, who was not a theologian at the time, he was an incredibly brilliant young man. He was a philosopher, had very, you know, he was turning people away from the one true God, and he had given himself over to drunkenness and immorality, sexual immorality, all kinds of things. He had a mom named Monica. And Monica labored in prayer for his salvation. And when this young man was 19, Monica had a dream that her and her son were walking hand in hand in heaven. And that dream encouraged her to keep praying. But it seemed that the more that she prayed, the worse her son got. He got more arrogant, more antagonistic, deeper and deeper into his sin. And she sobbed and sobbed. And she went to a bishop, a church ruler, wanting him to go talk to her son, but the bishop knew wisely that if I just went, it would harden his heart. But then he had a little prophetic word for her. He said, "Woman, it is impossible for the son of those tears to perish. He'll come to faith." And that encouraged her. 9 years later, this young son was sitting in a garden, still an unbeliever, and he heard an audible voice. The voice said, "Take up and read, take up and read." It was sort of almost like in a child's, you know, rhyme. And he turned to look for some children, and there was no one there. He was in this park all alone. It freaked him out. But then he had this sense that this voice could be divine. The God of heaven was telling him to take up the Bible. So he went to his home, took up a Bible, and he opened it. And you know what passage his eyes fell on? Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. "Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Do not participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or in immoral living or in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires." And that word was inflamed upon his heart. And this young man surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. He became the great St. Augustine, or St. Augustine. Now think about this. In his journey, God spoke to his mom in a dream, gave her a prophetic word, spoke in an audible voice to her rebellious son, and opened his heart through a rhema word of Scripture. Powerful. God speaks in dreams and visions even to unsaved people. The pagan king Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 had a vision from God concerning his future. In Jesus, when he was in his trials before he was executed, Pilate, he had a wife, and his wife had a dream about Jesus, and she tried to warn her husband that he was innocent and that she should not condemn him. We read about that in Matthew 27. And many Muslim people around the world, even in our own congregation, as we heard in some of their incredible baptism stories, are seeing Jesus in their dreams and making decisions to follow him. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit said through Peter that dreams and visions and prophetic experiences would become commonplace in the latter days. He said, in the last days, now remember from our story, from our teaching in Revelation, the last days occurred from after the death and resurrection of Jesus until he returns. We are all living in the last days right now. We're closer to the last of the last days than they were, but we live in the last days. And in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. So we see that God has his plan for the church age, that he would be speaking, and that visions and dreams and prophetic words would be coming. Increasingly here at Summit, as we wait on the Lord for people, for situations and direction, the Holy Spirit's begun to increase the occurrences of giving pictures or visions, thoughts, words, verses, to encourage, comfort, and strengthen people, or to give direction in ministry here. And this leads to a fifth way that God speaks, through other people. Very commonly, God speaks to us today through other people, but if we don't understand that, we dismiss it, especially believers. That's why the Holy Spirit's given many speaking gifts to the church. First of all, in preaching and teaching. God speaks through preachers. Preachers are important for people to hear the Word of God. In Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 14, he said, how can they call on the one who have not believed, and how can they believe if they haven't heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? As it is written, how beautiful on the feet of those who bring good news. And this prompts Paul in 2 or 1 Thessalonians to say that when the Spirit through Paul tells them that you received the Word of God, which you heard from who? Us. You accepted it not as the Word of men, but actually as it is, the Word of God. For through preaching and teaching, I don't understand it, friends, I don't. But I'm telling you that God has chosen, as Scripture says, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. That somehow the Holy Spirit, through the words and personality of the one speaking, actually brings the word to people. Paul said it differently in Corinthians, where he said, it is as though God was making his appeal through you. And you may not be a preacher, but if under the anointing of the Spirit, you are sharing Christ over across a coffee table, across a driveway, God works through your voice. Now, I would say, not just for salvation, but for increased understanding and your growth in discipleship. This is why it's so important to choose to consistently gather in faith to receive what God has to say. when you understand this deeply, that's why you will want to do almost anything to gather with the church when it gathers for worship and to sit under the Word of God, because you don't want to miss what God may be saying to you that morning. When I'm on vacation up in little cottage country somewhere, I'll drive to some podunk little church anywhere because I want to sit under the Word of God. Because I don't ever know when He wants to speak to me through a preacher, whether they're good or bad. You guys know that. Much bad preaching from me, but God somehow in His grace still speaks to you. So God knows what you need and what's going to strengthen and grow your character, grow your faith, or your understanding of life in His kingdom. And we have a tendency to say, oh, this is happening today. What I really want to hear is something about this. And so what you are doing is you're already shutting God out because you want some of this. You never know what God you might need is what God wants to say to you on a Sunday morning. Even though it may not be, well, and I wish I could hear something about this. And they were talking about like something in Revelation. Actually, God might want to speak to you because He knows ultimately that's what you need more than what you actually want to hear. But in the last days, the Bible says that people will just gather speakers to scratch their itching ears, just what they want to hear about. So it's really important. Sometimes this teaching comes in the form of books. Have you ever read a book that seriously impacted you? You felt like God was speaking to you through it? Most of you don't understand this, but most Christian books, a lot of Christian books, are written, they're just sermons that have been edited and transcribed into book form. I don't know if you know that. Lots of them, especially from church pastors around the country, popular pastors. They're just sermons that then they've been edited and put into book form. So God could speak through that. Here's another way. Through other people by prophesying. Prophecy is lifted in the gifts of the Spirit in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, and Ephesians 4. But listen to me here clearly, because this is where many Christians get, they don't know how to handle it, and they often choose to reject it. And then there are those that try to bring into and confuse this. The New Testament gift of prophecy is not the same thing as the office and function of the Old Testament prophet. Please understand that. It's one of the few gifts in the New Testament that is so clearly described as to its nature, function, and effect. When it is appropriately practiced, and we read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talked about someone who speaks in tongues is only speaking to God. He says here, but the one who prophesies speaks to people, and for three reasons: for their edification, their exhortation, and their consolation. This means to strengthen or build up, to encourage, and to comfort. Strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Or as Rick Warren loves to say, to build up, stir up, and cheer up. See, this is what the gift of New Testament prophecy does. So if someone comes to you and gives you a prophetic word, and they're trashy, it's negative, discard it. The New Testament word of prophecy is to edify, exhort, and console. Agabus. Now, sometimes there might be a future implication. Most often not. Please understand, most prophetic words are not always like telling the future. Although sometimes it does happen. We read about that in Acts 11, where Agabus prophesied that there was going to be a famine. And I referenced it this morning where David Hearn, our president, stood right here and gave a prophetic utterance about what was coming for Summit, and God is bringing it to fruition. Here's another way, through word of knowledge. In 1 Corinthians 12:8, it talks about words of knowledge. And for those who are theologically, of a certain camp, they would say, that just means smart people who read a lot. No, words of knowledge are actually a gift of the Holy Spirit where He gives them insight into something that they know nothing about. It's a word of knowledge. They come to know something that they was unknown previously. This lived out in my life as an early teen. I'll never forget the day. You see, I grew up in my early teen years fearing that I would lose my salvation if I committed one sin and Christ came back or I died, I'd go to hell. I was plagued by it. I lived in dread. And I was forever asking Jesus to come back into my life. And one day, old Grandma Kinchlow phoned our home. Grandma Kinchlow was one who actually had conversations with Jesus Himself, maybe one of the most holy women that I've ever met. And she called, and she told my mom, gave me the phone, and she said, tell Jerry that he only needs to ask Jesus to forgive and cleanse him from the sin he committed, not to keep asking him back into his life. And stop worrying about that. God gave an old grandma type who talks with Jesus, and in his grace, he said, would you call Jerry and help him here? Gave her a word of knowledge. She shared it to me. There's words of wisdom, 1 Corinthians 12:8. Some people, God just gives them a sense of wisdom to know how to apply something or what to do in a particular situation. I love seeing that in teams of people or on boards or where we've been. Saw that at the board of directors at times or in our own board, where suddenly someone will have a word of wisdom and everyone around the table goes, ah, of course. And through the interpretation of tongues. You see, with tongues, you're only speaking to God. It's in the interpretation where God will speak. Now, the last way, and this is the most common way that God speaks apart from His Word, is through what many call the still small voice, where His Holy Spirit will speak right into our spirit or our mind. And I believe this is the most common way in which God speaks to us outside the Bible. Now, to help illustrate this, I've invited a wonderful friend and his wife here today. And so I'm going to invite Craig to come on up. And Craig and Stacy are here. They pastor in Claremont, this wonderful little place just to the east. And Craig Wilson is a great friend, a good friend. We've been in mentoring together under Sunder Christian's tutelage. And that's where I got to know this guy. And this is a wonderful, wonderful guy. So, Craig, why don't you tell us a little bit? Sarah, why don't you tell us your story?
All sure. Right. Yeah, just quickly, a couple of things that I want to share with you or that Jerry and I had an opportunity to talk about just a couple of months ago about what God has been doing in our lives. And my wife and I are on sabbatical right now, so we had some extra time. Jerry said, why don't you come? And so really thrilled to be here with you today and to worship with you. The presence of God is here. And that's the biggest thing, isn't it? I think even as Jerry has been talking and the whole worship time around the presence of God, to know the presence of God here. And we're just excited. And I was so excited to meet Eric as well and get hugged and kissed by a man I don't even know. I think I'm Persian. So just, I can't tell you my whole story, but I can tell you just briefly a touch point of it and where God has spoken clearly. And by God's grace, He's spoken clearly to me and at times has had to use a number of the things that Jerry has talked and taught to you this morning because I've got a pretty thick head and He's had to do that. His scripture, the Bible is clearly the biggest thing. And to engage with that and to know Christ through His Word is so key. But 27 years, Stacy and I have been married, and we have 5 kids, and so we desperately need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear God's. In fact, if personally I had not heard God's voice, I can tell you right now that probably some of our kids wouldn't even exist, and Stacy probably wouldn't be with me. That's the grace of God. He has plans for each one of us. I want to just share with you, a couple of years ago, Stacy and I actually, we had heard about Southland Community Church, about church renewal, a couple of years previous to that, so about 4 years ago we'd heard about it, and it just kind of in and out 1 year, and sort of, so to speak in that sense, because we were just so busy with other things. And then things converged for us, and it came up at a time where we actually were a little bit free, and we went. And so we went to Manitoba, and you've probably heard from Jerry about that. And we went on a church renewal weekend, the Set Free, and Stacy and I had a number of times been involved with different ministries for inner healing and that sort of thing. We even taught on that, had courses through our church, through LL Ministries, if any of you are familiar with that. And so it wasn't a surprise to us what we were going to experience when we were there. We just were excited to be a part of something that was encouraging the church toward repentance, towards confession, forgiveness, and really hearing from God. And so we were excited about that. And when we went, we really received, and we were thrilled with that too. We knew that, I think some of it comes from an expectation, isn't it? That we expect as God's people to hear from God. And so that was what we went with, and we didn't know how God would do that. And so we went through the Set Free, and some of you probably have been through that, I would imagine, and the Set Free retreat. And through that time and through the triads, which is just where you break off and into groups of 3, and you go from one to the next, and hey, do you have anything that you need God to forgive you for? And then, you know, it goes through. And we'd gone through that process, and I was kind of done. I was tired. I'd been through a lot, and just was excited for lunch or whatever it was that was next. Have you ever been in those situations? And so you just kind of want to just, God bless you, go in peace. And the last question, and we were all kind of in our group of 3 sitting around, and the last question was, is there anything else God wants to say to you? And I, in my mind, I thought, well, I'm just going to kickstart this thing. And just so I asked the guy next to me, is there anything else God wants to say to you? And we bowed our heads, and he came up and he said some things. And in my mind, I'm just thinking, well, good for you. God bless you. And of course, it was the next guy's turn to just say, well, Christ forgive you for that. God forgives you for that. And then the guy that had just asked for forgiveness asked the guy the night, is there anything God wants to say to you? And I was just, okay, I'm waiting for it to come back to me so I can just say, no, go in peace. And God, when that last question was asked to me, when it came to my turn, and I was prepared with my whole heart to say, no, just go in peace. Let's go. Thank God for everything He's done for us. God said, what about that time when you wanted to take your life? And that came out of left field for me. I just got to be honest with you. I was about 16 years old. My dad had died the previous year. And I was going through a lot of things and a lot of inner turmoil at that time. And I remember very clearly, after my bargaining with God hadn't accomplished what I thought it should, and my dad had died, and then a year of really angry and rebellious and just thinking, I am done with this, and wanting to take my own life, and started that process, and then was interrupted by someone. And so I thought, okay, maybe I've got something to... And that thought hadn't been in my mind for years and years and years, probably since it occurred. I'm a pretty upbeat person. Anyway, I thought, well, okay, I don't know. And God just really prompted me then. So I said, well, guys, I don't know really how to say this other than there was a time, and I barely got the words out, and I could hardly talk, and I wept and I wept. And these two strangers just put their arms around me and said, you're forgiven and set free in Jesus' name. And then they said, do you think there's anything else God wants to say to you? I said, no, I can't handle it. Please just stop. But they asked me again, and I said, Lord, is there anything else you want to say to me? And the word accuser came immediately to my mind, the word accuser. And then the book of Job. Now, if you've read the book of Job, you know that the accuser goes into the presence of God. And so I thought, I hadn't read that book recently. And I was just, I said, you know, guys, I don't know, but the word accuser and the book of Job, and they prayed for me in that. Now it's become more about me, and I'm like, guys, like, I just want to get done here. But they prayed for me, and as soon as they prayed for me, God started to give me a list of names. Now, there were a list of names there, and I won't tell you how many were on it, but I'll just briefly, if it's okay, tell you the first two. Can I? And so there were two names on there. One was a family member, and then one was a good friend. Now, the family member and I had, I knew that there was a need for reconciliation. I just didn't know what the problem was. Have you ever had those situations where you're not sure what's wrong, but you know there's something wrong? And so that was the first name that God had given to me. The second name was who had been one of my dearest friends, and through a church conflict, left. And some of you maybe have experienced church conflict before. Probably not, though, because Jerry's your pastor. And we'll sort it out quickly. I'm sure he'll probably sort me out after, too. So these guys just simply prayed for me. Well, God, lead him in what you want. And then later that night, there was a prayer summit. And as if to just underscore things for me, in our group, and I'll just make this very quick, in our group that didn't know us, just asked us what our names were and where we were from and if there was anything they could pray for us, we said a couple of things, and then they gave us prophetic words. I believe words of wisdom, and there was this one 20-year-old woman in the group, and it went past her twice, and she kept saying, well, no, not really, I don't think, and then I just said, finally, listen, just say whatever it is on your heart, and she said, well, it doesn't really make any sense, the word accuser and the book of Job. I was like, well, let me just tell you, that's exactly, and so they prayed for me in that God would give wisdom. We came back home, and we were delighted by what God had done, and we had the list, and I was praying over that list. Now, I got to just tell you, I had tried many times to bring reconciliation into with that family member, and it was all to no avail. And one day I was praying, and I said, God, just this whole situation, I don't understand their problem. And God said to me, you're the problem. And have you argued with God before? I did. I said, God, I don't think you've got the wrong one on this. I know that you're usually right, but here you're clearly wrong. It's their problem. They've got an issue. They haven't dealt with it. They're really not walking. And God put his finger right on the point and gave me the exact word. He said, no, you hold resentment in your heart, and here's why. I won't get into the whole story, but I met with that family member. They thought I was wanting to talk about something else, and I just said, before we go anywhere, I just need to say, I need you to forgive me because I've held resentment in my heart toward you. This is the reason why. God has made it very clear, and I need your forgiveness. Praise God. He's the restorer, and he restored that relationship. A few weeks later, or maybe it was a few months, I can't remember now the timeline, but later anyway, the next name on the list, I woke up one Sunday morning. Sunday mornings are usually pretty busy, and so Sunday morning I woke up, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and as soon as I woke up, I felt God say to me, and I don't know how he said it, it was just in my, but the name of that person that I had that that division with. And over the years, I had tried many times to get together to see things worked out, and it never, ever was reciprocated. Texts wouldn't be sent back, all that kind of thing. I would phone. It would just be a cursory hello, goodbye. And God put on my heart that day, invite that person to go with you to do a second. Every once in a while, I do a service at a senior's home. And God said, invite that person to go with you today. I said, well, God, that's not going to make any sense. I haven't talked to them for over a year now, and just out of the blue. And God very clearly impressed on my heart, just do it. So I fired off a text at about 6:30 in the morning. He's an early riser anyway. And I just said, listen, I just wondered if you'd want to join me at Reachview, just like old times. And I didn't hear have any reply. 9 o'clock, no reply. 10 o'clock, our service was started, and our celebration. And my phone buzzed in my pocket, and I pulled it out, and it was a reply. Love to, but why don't we get together for coffee before? And we met together for coffee, and before we went into the shop, I just said, "Listen, I just gotta say, I don't know all the things that I've done to have hurt you." See, I learned my lesson with my family member. I just knew it was probably my fault anyway. So I said, I don't know all the things that I've done to offend you, but I need to ask you to forgive me. And he put his arms around me. And with tears in his eyes, he said, no, I actually need to ask you to forgive me. And I said, oh, I did that a long time ago. Let's go get some coffee. And so God speaks to us in order to bring about his will in our lives, and to see restoration all around us. Praise God.
Thanks, Greg. Praise God. Thank you so much, Craig. We do value authentic vulnerability in the process of life change here. And I just abhor the kind of church culture where we're not real people. So I want to thank you so much for your words, Craig. Stirred me. It's so easy for us to see others from our own self-justification, right? But if we listen to the Spirit of God, he'll help and he'll work it through. Well, I'm going to rip through. This inner voice takes the form mostly of thoughts that are just somehow God just uses thoughts. And the Holy Spirit may accompany that with some feelings to some greater or lesser degree for lots of different reasons. We don't have the time to talk about it. But today, many people, they talk about a conviction or a prompting or an impression, but they're all talking about the same thing. This inside, the Spirit of God is communicating with us. And how you learn to do this? Well, just like domesticated animals and pets learn to recognize the voice of their master by experience, so too we learn through experience to hear God's voice. And I just want us to say that. God, his thoughts are communicated to our human spirit. And this is where the Holy Spirit communicates with us, because we don't have access to God's thoughts. Only the Spirit does. And so I would just say this. Let's give me a word of warning. That this gentle word, the still small voice, which bypasses often our physical senses and goes directly to our spirit and mind, may be easily disregarded by some who only look for dramatic communications as if they're the real thing. God does this because it's the best suited way for relationships with a free, intelligent beings. That's the way God wants it. So he will speak to us and let us choose to respond to him or not. So, while the primary way God speaks to us is through the Bible, he also communicates in various ways: audible voices, angels, phenomena, dreams, visions, other people, and most often, his still small voice. But all of these are for his purposes: to reveal himself more, to grow our relationship with Him, to transform our character, to lead us and guide us in the ways of the kingdom, and to work through us to serve other people. God speaks. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, You're so good. I thank You that You've given us Your written word. I thank You for bringing Jesus, the ultimate manifestation and word to humanity. And thank You that You also speak in other ways, sometimes, because You don't want us to miss what You're trying to do in us. Give us greater sensitivity to see You speaking through other people. Give us greater sensitivity to the still small voice. And give us the spirit of discipline to meet with You consistently around Your written word. We love You, God, and we're so thankful for the fact that You communicate. And it's not just some stagnant relationship built on proposition, but rather it is a living, dynamic relationship with a real, living Christ by His Spirit. Thank You for Your word this morning, and thank You for the testimony of Craig. May we be as responsive. In Your name we pray. Amen.